Hi, everyone. It's Sarah. We are talking about sports romance this week. But before we get to it with Farah Roshan, I just wanted to let you know that there is 1 week until Bombshell lands. Bombshell is my 2021 book. It is the story of a pretty badass heroine and her pretty badass friends. The Hells Bells is a Victorian-era girl gang. I hope you'll love them as much as I love them. I hope you'll have as much fun reading this book as I had writing it, and I hope it will deliver on all levels for you. You can find it wherever books are sold, or you can pre-order it from one of the 5 romance-friendly indies hosting Fated Mates Live next week, August 24th. Links are in show notes. The purchase of a ticket is a pre-order of Bombshell. You'll also get Fated Mates stickers, Bombshell-specific swag, and a signed book plate from me for every purchase made through one of those stores. And then you get to join us and 10 of our favorite people for Fated Mates Live, which is sure to be a really fun time. Again, links are in show notes. Thank you so, so much for listening and so, so much for reading. Your support means the world to me. And now, here's Farah. Sports romances. It's time. It's, you know, I think Ted Lasso is changing the game here with sports in the media.
Agree. And in fact, we have talked about this extensively, but
maybe we'll have some more Ted Lasso today. We'll see.
I haven't seen it. I haven't
seen it.
Guys, I've been like writing 2 books in 6 months.
So too busy. Too busy.
See nothing.
Treat yourself.
Those dulcet tones are coming from our friend Farah Roshan, contemporary author of sports romances these days and many other things. But first of all, you're listening to Fated Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels and I write them.
I'm Jennifer Prokop. I'm a romance reader and critic. And I guess we already introduced our guest, but Farah, tell us about yourself.
I am Farah Roshan. I, like Sarah, I read romance. I write romance. I'm also a huge sports fan, a ridiculous Disney fan. Probably the only thing I'm more ridiculous about is Broadway and traveling. So I just like to have
fun. So you're having a great 18 months.
Oh, gosh.
Real quality time for you.
I also love wine. So that's my love of wine is the only thing I've been able to indulge in lately.
It's not funny, but at this point, you just have to.
Yeah.
I feel like the Olympics did fill a void for a lot of sports kind of fans this summer. But also, my husband pointed out to me that the Winter Olympics start in like 6 months.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
do they really?
Well, because
we're doing this now?
Because it's 2022, right? Yeah. I mean, these should have been a year ago.
Oh, February. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I said to him,
it's where? It's 2022.
I can't even. I said to him, where are they? And he said, somewhere cold. I was like, thanks. Thanks for
somewhere
your
cold.
I have no idea either. Everything is so upside down. I have no idea. And I usually keep track of stuff like that. But
well, we'll put it in show notes, everybody. It's somewhere cold.
It did occur to me, aside from the Ted Lasso thing, because Ted Lasso season 2 is on and Farah hasn't seen it, so we're not going to spoil it for her. But it's a delight.
Everyone talks about it. Yeah.
But so Ted Lasso season 2 layered on top of the Olympics has really made me feel like
super
sports romance is basically all I want to read right now.
Awesome.
Although now I'm like, I want sports romances for all these like kind of weird sports.
The ones you don't see. Yeah.
Like, right. Where's my dressage romance?
You okay, listen, here's a deep cut, everybody. There is in fact a Iris Johansson love swept from the
80s. Of course. Oh.
So there was a big run of like, you know, because that was like the rise of love swept was sort of right in line with like the LA Olympics. And I remember, or maybe it was Elizabeth Lowell. I don't remember. I will look it up and put it in show notes. But I remember reading one where the woman was, you know, did dressage. And I was like, what the fuck is this sport? And I still don't know. Maybe this is where we should confess.
It's horse dancing.
Long and involved conversation.
Pretty much.
You guys have seen that video, right? Where it was put to like the horse in the club.
Yes.
Yeah, or yes. Snoop Dogg and
I saw that one
saying yes. He wants to put that horse in a video.
But listen, we had a long conversation also with Lauren of Christina Lauren about how they get the horses to Tokyo.
And because because seriously, I mean, Farah, I know you're a cruise ship person.
Yes.
But I was like, they have to put these horses on ships, right? Because I was sure that boats were the solution because horses are very high strung.
Yeah.
You would not want to put a horse on a plane.
They fly them.
No, they fly them.
They fly. Do they like drug them or
so,
how do you fly a horse halfway around the world?
To Tokyo. Well, from New York, say.
Okay. Lauren's text was like, we are the biggest dummies ever. And I say that with love. I don't think she really thought that. But she was like, horses are very well trained to be in their, I was going to say cages.
Their
I
crates.
Think there's something yeah. else. In their crates. And so apparently, I'm going to look for an article about this. Maybe they just put the whole crate on the plane.
I mean, when she said plane, I was like, sure. Wow. Not. But then I did read a whole article about it. And they fly with like a very well-paid groom, apparently.
Of course.
Who, like, is there to, I don't know, like, ring a bell if something goes wrong with the horses. But it also feels like, you know that John Mulaney bit? Did you all see that John Mulaney bit about the Trump administration being like, if there's a horse loose in a hospital, like, a horse
loose in a plane. No, I haven't, but I can understand.
It's great. But, like, a horse loose on a plane or a horse going, like, kind of out of its mind on a plane feels, like, not as safe.
No.
I don't know, but, I mean, look, we got all these horses to the Olympics and A plus everyone.
Yeah. Imagine how much it costs. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Well, one of my favorite parts of actually like the Olympics is the article, the How Things Work articles. Like it the last Winter Olympics, I read an entire article about like how the different kinds of ice they need at different venues.
Mm-hmm.
And like they had to import all these Americans and Canadians to like do the ice because wherever it was, people didn't have the ice proficiency and expertise.
It was Sochi. It was also hot. It was it was a lot warmer than usual. And I remember they had to like import.
Change.
Exactly. They had people like standing in their parkas, but then you look somewhere else and people were in like short sleeves because it really wasn't as cold. It was. Yeah, it was very, very weird.
The 2022 Winter Olympics are in Beijing, which also feels not cold. Like,
you know, I went to Beijing when it was cold. I have pictures of myself on the snowy Great Wall. Yeah, it was cold. So it gets cold there in certain parts.
So you're confirming this is it's great. This is why Sarah should not be on the Olympic Committee. That is not a future job for me because I don't know how we move horses around the world. And also, I don't know what places are cold.
Sure. It's complicated, but, everybody. So, Farah, you, though, enough this Olympics talk.
You're not writing about horses or the Olympics.
You're not writing about horses or the Olympics. You have written a terrific new football romance. So why don't you talk to us about the dating playbook, which I'm showing her like she doesn't know what her own book is.
I have one too. Yes. But everyone, imagine this great orange cover. Look it up. It's great. Yes, I have a football romance, which it kind of became a football romance kind of like by mistake because it just kind of fell into it. You know, the series itself isn't really like a sports theme thing. I've written a sports, you know, a football series before.
No, can we talk actually about what the series set up? Because I love it
book.
So much.
Super
so,
hooky, right.
Let's so yeah, let's start at the beginning because this is the dating playbook is actually book two in a series, which is just kind of called the Boyfriend Project series because we never came up with an actual name for the series. So the Boyfriend Project was the first book in the series, and it follows three women who all meet when they discover that they are all dating the same guy. And they discover this because one of them is on a date with him, and it's an awful date. And she starts live tweeting it at the table without him knowing it. And the other two girls kind of catch wind of it via Twitter. The other two show up at the restaurant, and they all, of course, you know, read him for filth as he should be read for filth.
It's a delicious everybody. So obviously it's you have to perfect. Go back and read the first book before you read this one.
You know, with this series, I'm usually one of those people who are like, you don't have to read the first book, but you really don't get the, you know, how that girl group starts until you read that first scene. But yeah, they drop that guy and then the three of them kind of just band together and just decide to, you know, they become fast friends and decide to work on themselves because they discover that all three of them had things that they pushed to, on the side in order to pursue a significant other. And so that's the setup of the Boyfriend Project. And that one featured Samaya and Daniel, but they're in the second book, and because the girls will always show up in the books. But the dating playbook is Taylor, who is, I mean, a hot mess is just the definition of her, you know.
Yeah. One of the things I really loved about this book is that you really let her be a hot mess.
Yeah.
And in ways that felt so, like, deeply relatable. You know, she's young, she's having financial trouble, she's trying to start her own business, she has, you know, high-powered family that she doesn't really want to care what they think, but does.
Yeah.
There should be more characters where they're really like, I don't really have my shit together, but I'm pretty fucking awesome.
And, you know, the thing is, the other two girls are both kind of intimidating because they both definitely have their shit together when it comes to their careers and such. So she's getting it from all sides. Even these two women that she, you know, relates to in all these ways, they still have that one thing on her where she's just trying to live up to all of these expectations. And she has good reasons for why she, you know, she struggled in school. She struggled in business because it's just a thing. You know, she learns that just because you're a fitness person doesn't mean you're going to get on Instagram and become an overnight success. You know, when researching it, I looked at a bunch of fitness people on Instagram. And yeah, some of them have been able to make these, you know, great businesses out of Instagram, but a lot of them don't.
Right.
And of course, I'm going like all on tangents. I'm supposed to be talking about the sports part about it.
No, but before we get to sports, can we also say, so this is a fake dating book.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And which is very hot right now in romance. Like, and I wonder, and obviously, I mean, have we ever done a fake dating interstitial?
Season one.
Surely we have. Season one.
We did.
We're probably due for another one. But the but I wonder if you could talk a little bit. Can we just like pause on that for a second? Because there is such, it is so hugely popular in romance right now. And do you have any thoughts about why that might be? Like, what is it about fake dating in 2021?
I don't know. You know, those things pop up because, of course, I saw it, I had friends coming out and they have their cover reveals and they reveal the back cover copy. And I'm like, holy shit, another fake dating. It's like, were we all just on the same? I don't
but
know
I think
why.
But we're all just like gobbling them up too.
That's a and good thing because it scared me.
No. Like, and oh, I didn't mean to say like, oh, Farrah, you're just one of a thousand. But like, there is this real need for it, feels like. And I wonder if it has something to do with, I mean, I think it's timing too, right? Like, I think it's both. It feels like dating is terrible, like the
right,
the like swiping and trying to find like a halfway decent person to just like have a meal with seems like it's awful. And that was before the pandemic, and now it's like even harder in a thousand ways. So I feel like fake dating a person who you know is like mostly decent is
that may be something that may you may right. be onto something. For me, it just fit with the book. It just was a great way to bring it together. But it truly, you definitely tapped on one of my fears when I saw all of these books come. I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to be so tired of fake dating. No. But no, they are not.
I don't think there is a. I don't think there's
probably not a limit.
It's a very popular. Yeah. I feel like it's like a popular trope, like enemies to lovers, where
forever
are right.
Yeah.
Forever, it just
But it definitely worked.
Football, right? So you have this football player, and I don't know. Maybe we should talk about how the football player comes into play with Taylor, the heroine with Taylor, of this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I also want to talk just widely about why football, because this is not your first football romance.
No,
you have a whole series of them. So, all right. So let's start there with why Jamar?
So Jamar finds Taylor because he's, if you're from Texas, if you're even, you know, like from the South, actually this whole country is football crazy, but it's different
especially,
thing.
Wait, yes. Yeah. My husband grew up in the suburbs outside of Houston, and like the football stadium in his town is, I was like, but wait, what?
It is ridiculous.
Like, and it's like the high school football.
Yes. The high school football. They have like $70 million high school football stadiums in Texas. It's ridiculous. But they love their football. So it's, you know, and Jamar is one of those. He's Katy, Texas, suburb right outside of Houston.
That's where Mr. Listen.
That's where he's from?
Okay. See? I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast before. I'm going to tell you two things about Mr. Reed's romance. Number one is he grew up in Katy, Texas. And number two, so did Renee Zellweger. And that is who my husband went to prom with.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I've never said that before, but Katy, Texas, it's like, that is legit. And that's the place with the crazy football stadium. I'll put an article in show notes about just how big it is.
Wow.
I've seen that stadium because Sophie Jordan lives in Katy, Texas. And when I am from Rhode Island. We don't do this there. And I remember when I watched Friday Night Lights, texting Sophie Jordan and being like, what is this whole world? And she was like, oh, next time you come, we're going to show you the football stadium.
Yeah.
So I was able to make a mental model
of the stadium as you were talking. I was like, it felt so real to me.
Wild. And I do think it is something that people outside of the South do not understand.
No.
Like the South. I mean, I guess Texas isn't the South.
It is. I mean, but here's my thing.
I don't think they call themselves that.
Mr. Reed's romance doesn't actually read romance, which is why it's funny to call him that. But this book is now on the very short list of books that, like, when he says he's ready, I'm going to be like, how about this book set in Katy, where the high school, you know, he went to high school in Katy, Texas. And and I'll just be, like, sucked in like a black hole.
Perfect.
That can be his gateway for sure.
I'll keep you updated.
Also, shout out to Katy Budget Books.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Romance-friendly independent bookstore in Katy, Texas.
Yes.
Katy Budget Books is terrific, and they should have this right in the front window.
I will sign it on my way to Austin next time I'm on my way there. but yeah, Jamar is from Katy. He is, so he grew up in that whole, you know, Friday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is like in the fall. It's all about football. Mm-hmm. That is. And then he goes on to the University of Texas. And if you've ever been to Austin, you know that it's burnt orange all the way. They revere their college football players even, you know, decades later. That's just how they are when it comes to their football players. So he's well known about town. He gets, you know, drafted into the NFL, but he only gets through half of the first season because he gets injured. And all the doctors and everyone thinks that it is a career-ending injury. However, he doesn't. He's trying to get back into the NFL. But in this age of, you know, sports bloggers and Reddit and all of these things, he's gotten a lot of flack online. So he doesn't really want anyone to know that he's trying to make it back in just in case it doesn't work out.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to face it.
And I loved this arc for him too, because it felt so real, like the kind of, and I also loved reading a sports romance where someone had, you know, like gotten in, but then was injured, right? Like it wasn't always like someone
That's
at
it.
The top
it's
of
not
their
like
game, right?
The injury usually happens to like the old dude.
Older, yeah.
Right. Really flips that script. So.
And he, not to get too bogged down in the details of it, but he has more than just his dream. You learn that his best friend from high school, they grew up together with this dream. The friend dies in high school, and Jamar, for several reasons, feels as if he owes it to his friend to live out this dream. So there are so many things that are driving his push to get back into the NFL. So that's why he discovers Taylor, because of her going viral when, I don't think I mentioned that, when the girls, give the guy in someone records it when they break up with the guy, and that goes viral back in the Boyfriend Project. So that's how he discovers her. And then he goes looking and realizes that, hey, she's really good at this fitness thing. So their meet cute kind of happens at one of her pop-up fitness classes, where he goes to check for himself, is this the right one for me? And decides, yeah, he wants to work with her as his private, fitness coach to try to get him back in shape.
And all of this felt so... So like smart to me, because it felt like, I think obviously for listeners, maybe a big question would be like, well, why wouldn't he just use the NFL trainers? Surely they're the best people. But it all plays into this feeling, or this sense, that he doesn't want to be humiliated if it doesn't work out. He wants to keep it as secret as possible, just like keep it quiet. And, by using an outside trainer, and, this of course comes into conflict with her, because she is like, but wait, I need a business. And if I can get you back in the NFL, then I will be, then I won't have to worry about my business or money anymore.
She wants to use his celebrity to help, level up a bit with her. And that's the one thing that he can't have her do,
Right. So this conflict is so rich, right?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, and it felt so real. And so I think the fake dating part of it, if you are a person who likes fake dating, it's a really compelling reason. Essentially, it provides the secrecy for they're not training, they're dating.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I think I also,
it's delicious.
For those of you who have not, it's really, obviously, it just came out, so you are going to go pick it up now that we're talking about this. But I think it's really unflinching in dealing with, injuries in the NFL and head injuries and, right, all that stuff that becomes part and parcel of becoming part of the NFL is really built into the book as well. And so everybody at home, it's terrific. It's a great read.
Thank you.
So, Farah, let's talk about football. Because you love football romances. You love football, clearly.
Yes.
But why? What is it about football that makes you want to write these heroes?
Well, I am from the South, where it is a religion. But I am from a football family. And I didn't realize when I was writing Jamar that I was kind of mimicking my uncle's journey in the NFL. My uncle he was one of the first Black players to integrate LSU's football team back in the 70s. I think it was three of them that year, but he was one of the first ones on the team. And then he played for the Raiders in the Miami Dolphins, but only for a couple of years because he got hurt. And this was all before I was, even here. But he also just finished a 35-year career as a coach in the NFL. So when I say a football family, it has been, it's been in my blood and just a part of my life all of this time, because I've been lucky in that I've been able to go to NFL games, stay in the same hotel with the players, be on the sidelines for games. I've been able to do all of this stuff because he's been with 10 different teams, so all through his career. And it's been, I think he started playing the year I was born. He started playing. It's been my entire life that's been in my family. And his sons, all three of his sons play college football. A couple of them were in the NFL. So it really has been just a part of my life. And then he's never coached for the Saints, but I am a Saints fan through and through. I don't care which team he's, it's like the Saints are up there and then whatever team he's on is the ones, you know, I'll cheer for them, whatever.
It's number
but
two.
It's just a part. Yeah, it is. Except when he was with the Falcons and I was like, sorry, dude, you're just like.
We can't talk.
It was so real. Okay. It was like, sorry, family, I cannot.
Holiday dinners were a problem.
Like blood only goes so far. It's not, you're not going to get me to cheer for the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry. But yeah, it's just been a part of my life. And I've just always been a football fan. And it's like never pressured to be a fan because of it. It's just, I've just grown up with it.
Yeah. So this is interesting to me because often when you have kind of a deep look and a deep understanding of how a business or a type of person is in the world, you find often writers are like, oh no, I don't want to write about like that. I know too much about it, but that's not the case here. So I guess the other question that I have is, as somebody who clearly has been reading romance as long as we have, have you been drawn to football romance as a reader too? Is football the sport you go to when you're looking at sports romances?
For sure. You can't talk sports romance without talking about Susan Elizabeth Phillips Chicago Star series. That was my first, the first football series that I read. And yeah, I love football. So I do, and because I know so much of it, I do gravitate towards that. But I've read, you know, there are so many other sports romances. I just love sports. I love the competitiveness of it. And I guess there's something I love when I'm looking for an alpha male. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I just feel like reading one of those. You tend to find one in a sports romance. So I think that's when I go and take one off the shelf because I know I'm going to get like an alpha hero. But it's always a great surprise when they turn out not to be, you know?
Right.
So I found myself being, you know, pleasantly surprised that I've read a sports romance here and there where the guy wasn't necessarily an alpha. But I think it's just being such a big sports fan of any type. I mean, because I'm golf, tennis, I will watch anything, you know, sports will be my background, my white noise for me. So yeah, that's why I gravitate toward them.
One of the things that's really interesting you said about like being an alpha male is I agree with that. But I think that the Russian roulette or like the, I don't know, spinning ball of fate or whatever, because they could get hurt at any minute.
Yes.
Right? And so I think unlike if they're like businessmen where they're just like at the top of the game and can sort of, you know, just be awesome forever, in sports you have to show relatively young men grappling with like not necessarily their like mortality, but the end of this career where they were like, you know, gods.
Literally. Yeah.
And I think that there's something, I mean, that's like a great, like, it makes sense to me that sports romances, especially when one of the man is the athlete, to be frank, is more common, is really playing around with that. Like, you're still young, but you have to grapple with the fact that you are not the best anymore.
It happens, there has to be this vulnerability in them that you have to show because of that. And it's like, it can be injury or, like you said, just age, 35. You're kind of done.
Right.
Ancient.
Yeah.
Out to pasture.
Well, we were Googling, we were watching women's beach volleyball, and it's Alex and April.
Yeah, April Ross.
And, you know, my husband was like, I said, how old is April Ross? Like, I feel like she's been in my brain for a long time. And he was like, I don't know, like 25. And I was like, she's 39.
Wow. Right?
Like these, there are some sports where you can have a longer career, but football is not really one of them.
We've been watching skateboarding here at our house for the last 2 weeks. And like those dudes are old.
Yeah.
There's a guy from Denmark whose name is Rune. So because of my obsession with Cressley Cole's character, Rune, of course, he's our favorite. Well, my favorite. And my daughter just has to watch it with me. Like, but he's like 42 or something.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, like, and when you fall off a skateboard.
I was going to say.
That feels like I'm riddle, you all.
I also am 42, and I do not want to fall off a skateboard.
I don't want to fall off, like, a heel on my shoe.
I was just going to say, okay, at 42, I'm pretty sure back at 42, I was like, damn, getting out of this bed. I, you know, I could hear my knee at some point. So, exactly.
He's also called the Danish Destroyer. So, I don't know.
I love the
Destroyer of his kneecap.
I know. I'm like, where's my Danish Destroyer romance?
I think on the British equestrian team, there is a gentleman in his 60s.
And yes, I did watch his.
That's great.
He looked dapper in his little, you know, in the great uniforms that they wear. Yeah, he was pretty, I was impressed.
Like they could like roll off their horse and then like hit the high.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to like, you know, throw a ball really far.
True.
He just has to ride a horse and not fall off.
That's
severely diminishing the skill it takes to do equestrian sports.
I was just going to say the equestrian people are absolutely coming after you for that, Sarah.
I apologize. I'm already mad at myself.
They tuned out as soon as we knew we didn't know how they get the horses placed.
I know, they're already like dummies.
You know, here's the other thing I would say about your book, and I think about sports romances in general, which is they are really built on found family and like sort of that brotherhood, that camaraderie of growing up together and having like similar goals. And I think that that is another thing that, you know, Jamar's, it's so like tender the way he feels about this friend, his best friend who died. And I think that that's something that we talk a lot about in romance, how men, especially alpha males, you know, like can't really access their feelings. But I think that one of the ways in a sports romance that you do get those feelings from men is the way that they are like so closely tied to their teammates or their team or, you know, their coaches or whoever. And I think that's another reason that I like a sports romance too, is there's like a bigger variety of like ways that we see men interacting
with
like kind of each other.
With each other.
It's built in, right?
When I think about my other football romance, my New York Sabres series, I remember when I was setting that up, those guys always got together to play dominoes after the game because one of them was kind of a hothead. My running back was kind of a hothead who got in trouble. And some of the older guys on the team, they were like, you know what? We are not going to hang around in the locker room with you. We'll leave after the game. And that's kind of how they formed their little brotherhood, by trying to save one of the younger players from himself. And they formed this brotherhood together. And with the dating playbook, the one with Jamar, that started with them when they were still kids.
They were,
you know, and they have a very different path, because I talk about how Jamar is seen as the ideal. You know, he comes from a two-parent home, middle class. Everyone thought he was a golden boy, while his friend Silas has a mom who's in jail. His grandfather raised him. He's like the statistic that the media likes to portray when it comes to Black football players. So Jamar just has so many, you know, there's so many feelings when it comes to Silas. And at one point I thought, am I laying on the guilt too much? Because he is carrying a lot of guilt and just things. But I think it worked in the story, because it all was just authentic. It all just comes together. You can see it really happening for him. So I think it worked well. It was extremely hard to write. There are so many times that this book just had me literally on the floor in the fetal position. So some of those scenes, gosh, there's a scene in there towards the end where it took me days to get through that scene. I guess I can say this, a lot of people know that I lost my sister very unexpectedly, my only sister. In the middle of writing this book, I actually had, it was due like a month before she died. I turned it in 9 months later because, you know, I was still, I was running late, but I was only about maybe a few weeks late. But then that happened, and then everything just went like, you know, I wasn't even thinking about writing. But I'd already put this in the book. It's not like I could change the entire story. Right. So I had to get myself in a position where I could face these scenes that had I still hadn't written them yet. But it is by far the hardest book I have ever had to write. And I was not convinced that it was a good book until someone outside of my editor told me. Because I thought she was just, you know, being nice. Now, I will say the very first edition that she read was trash. It was horrible.
Sounds like my general turning in a draft experience. Right.
I mean, I have been saying a lot. I think that the next year, and I mean now, we're reading people's pandemic books.
Yes.
But we're also, I mean, and so this thread of grief and loss and, you know, it doesn't surprise me that this like permeates the books in general, but I think knowing your story about your sister,
yeah,
it really, I might cry a little. It's really, like I said, it's really a big part of the book. I think it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
I think people looking for that like exploration in a place like romance where it's safe are going to feel really taken care of here.
Yeah. It took a lot to craft that. And not, you know, I wrote it and then I had to pull back a little from it because it really became like cathartic. It was maybe 5 or 6 months later that I was actually able to get to those scenes and I realized that they helped me because I was stuck in the house. I mean, I lived in my sister's house for about 9 years before she died. So I was at one point stuck in this house with just me and the chihuahua, you know, because we couldn't go anywhere. So there was just so many emotions. I was thinking, how do I get through this book? And I just heard her voice saying, you've got bills to pay. You better get this book written. And that's when that was like my point. I was like, okay, yes, shake out of it. Just write it. And lots of tears, you know, but I think it made for a better book. And I'm just proud that it got written. And the fact that so many people, they actually think it's a good book. You know, I've gotten so many reviewers who said, I love The Boyfriend Project, but I have to say, I love this one more. And when I saw more and more people saying that, I thought, okay, it's not just people being nice because these people don't even know me. They actually do like the book.
Right.
So yeah, I'm very happy with it.
Should we talk about some books?
We should.
Listen. Recommend some books. No, you don't want to.
I feel like we should start with Chicago Stars because Farrah said it and I fell
back. We weren't going to say it.
I just feel like
we've said enough about
it. Except that I will tell
you. But now she brought it up, so let's talk about it.
I'm sorry, I did. I reread Heaven, Texas yesterday because
I said
Chicago Stars, and
that's a deep cut.
God, I love that book so much.
I know.
Right? I really do. Well, and the thing that's really interesting about it is Bobby Tom, who is the hero of Heaven, Texas, is essentially almost a rookie, like a in the first book of the series. And so, but, you know, she fast forwards until it's essentially, again, like the end of his career, right? He was injured and his knee is screwed up. And so he is a real show pony, to put it like as nicely as possible. And he falls in love with a woman named Gracie Snow, who is just like a, I don't know, like a little Robin, like a wren, like whatever, like the brown plain bird is hanging out on your porch. That's what she is. And I love that when you put like a real, you know, show pony with somebody who is not like that at all. And it also has like a real terrific, as only Susan Elizabeth Phillips can write, like sort of end of the line, you know, grovel scene which involves him stealing a police car.
Oh, gosh, yes, I remember now.
And chasing her down on a Texas interstate, so.
Yes.
I really need to go and, like, reread all of those before I get to the new one, because I've got so many books lined up that I know it's going to be forever before I can read the newest. But my favorite was the one with Gabe. Is it Dream a Little Dream? I think is so. The one with him. And I just remember there are some scenes that she had me just like crying with that book. That entire series, you can't talk sports romance without talking about it and laughing because she's just the funniest. Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. And when she was on, we had her on to talk about the most recent book, and she introduced herself and she was like, I'm the inventor of the sports romance. Like, before me, they didn't exist.
And we were like, and right on.
We were like, fair enough.
Wow.
But
true.
And so really, it's really fascinating. But one of the things that I think she pointed out is that she almost never writes the actual sport into the books. Like, she's much more interested in what the characters, how yeah. the sport builds the character than how the character builds the sport, so to speak.
Yes.
And I think that's really interesting.
And I've been finding myself paying attention to that yeah. more and more because Sarah was like, is going to talk about a book next because I'm going to make her, where she's like, oh, he doesn't actually play for the team. He's like a trainer. And I was like, I think it's really interesting how sports romance now has grown to be a lot of things too that are like adjacent, right?
Yes.
Like, not the friends of people on the team, the personal trainers. I mean, so that to me makes a lot of sense because you start off with just the players, but like the support staff,
yes.
the people who are flying the horses to Tokyo are also people that have great stories.
I want to read one of those people's stories for sure. Now that I know they exist, I totally want that romance. So yeah, I agree.
Well, so, I mean, I'll talk about it, briefly, but it was when we sort of said, okay, let's do sports. My instant thought was Adriana Herrera's American Sweethearts, which is the fourth in her Dreamers series, which is, I mean, talk about a book that like is sports adjacent, right? It's actually a like, there's only one bed, like off in an island in the Caribbean, like it's like friends to lovers, like accidental fall in love. And it is terrific, but the hero, Juan Pablo, is a physical therapist for the New York Yankees. And so, of course, I was like, oh, he's a Yankee. I mean, and he is a Yankee, right? Like, without him.
Exactly. Yeah.
And his best friend is a New York City police officer, and they are, like, and she, it's, you know, the classic romance setup. Like, they are both, like, career-driven and, like, have sworn off relationships, and then they just, like, happen to be stuck in the Dominican Republic in paradise for a week together.
Tragedy.
And... yeah. You know, things happen. And it is a delight. And then, of course, and the conflict is all, it's like a beautiful, everybody on who listens knows that, like, it takes a lot for me to, like, love a friends to lovers romance. But interestingly enough, this one and my other favorite friends to lovers romance are both sports romances. Huh. And I think that's because there is this kind of sense of, like, there being, I feel like the other thing I really love about sports romance that doesn't often get talked about is, like, focus, the life focus of the character. I really love a character who, like, has a plan for their life outside of romance, and then they get kind of, like, blindsided by it and, like, knocked on their ass by it. And so sports gives you that because yeah. in order to be successful in sports, in order to be successful as a physical therapist with the New York Yankees, like, you have to have hyper-focus. Like, you yeah. can't be screwing around. And that is true. I think that's the other piece. Like, when you talk about building an alpha hero or like a strong heroine, often the way that we can do that as writers is to build a character who has hyper focus, and deep commitment and passion to something else. Also, because there is a real appeal to drawing that passion not away, but like getting some of that directed at you. Like,
oh, yeah.
when somebody's able yeah. to hyper-focus on their, you know, body becoming a temple of sportsmanship, they then are able to hyper-focus on your body as temple of
fine. Delight. I love yes.
it. It's my makes new so theory. Much sense.
I just created it.
Maybe more, right? Well, you read all those stories about Olympians, like these people can do whatever they want with their bodies. I'm fine with it. I love it.
Look, yeah. these beds, these, like, it was debunked, but when they first introduced these cardboard beds and they were like, oh, it's so that they don't have sex. And I was like, these people don't need beds to have, like, no. I need a bed. But, like, these people can do it, like, upside down in handstand pose. So, like, why? Why would we care about these cardboard beds?
So, it was so funny. My gosh. Yeah, but your theory makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I love it.
It really does.
Yeah. Because if you're the only other thing, right?
Right. I think I still have more recommendations. I know it's a couple of years old, but I really love the Bromance Book Club.
Same.
And it's a super high concept, and I feel like sometimes when it's like that, it's sort of hard to, like, make the characters work, but it really did in this case. So the plot is that it's about a baseball romance. Gavin Scott is a real successful, I think, I don't know, baseball player. I don't know his position. And his wife, Thea, and is essentially like, I'm not coming. You don't take, you know, you don't take care of me in the bedroom, and you don't really take care of things at home. I have given up a lot of myself and the things I wanted in order to be your wife, and it's not working for me anymore. And so she asked for a divorce. So this is also a real marriage and trouble story where you have a hero who was so focused on, you know, the job that he did not have a focus on home. And what happens is, and this is the high concept part, he ends up being invited to essentially a secret meeting of men who read romance novels as a way of, like, understanding women better. And they call the books, I feel like they call them, I can't remember, like, the Bibles or something, right? Like, the manual. They call it, like, you know, like, what happened in the manual to, like, help guide them through how to, like, fix things. And it is, I think, a really terrific example of, you know, here's a sports romance where you have a successful athlete, but, like, what is the price that you're paying, that someone's paying? And often the wife, right, is paying that price. And I think this is, it's really a book that I loved it the first time around, and it has really, like, stuck with me as being a great example of, you know, I think Lissa Kadams, like, took a trope we all know and love, the sports romance, but then, like, found a way to unpack some, like, new part of it, which is, well, what happens when all, you know, like, as Sarah said, all your focus is, wasn't good. You didn't focus on the right things, you fucking dummy. Right?
I love those books. I still haven't read the last one, the latest one.
Yeah, I haven't
because
either.
Again, I have not had a life these last 6 months, but I love that series. And like you said, it's she explores other things that you don't necessarily get in a normal sports romance. I think that's what makes it work so well. But yeah,
it's so funny. It's another one. I had forgotten it was a sports romance. I mean, of course it is. Like, now, like, when I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, he's a baseball player. But, like, it's, I had totally forgotten that.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that was like a marriage and trouble book. But you're totally right. And she and it works because of that focus. Yeah.
Right.
What a silly. But also, my God, that group of men.
Yeah.
What a delight. That first book is a delight. Like,
yes.
When you're just like, I can't believe it took 50 years for romance to come to,
come with that.
Men reading romance novels.
Yeah.
Agree.
When you talk about high concept ideas, like, when people are like, I don't understand what high concept means, like, that's a perfect, like, you know exactly what that book is.
And yes.
Even though you've never seen it before. It's great.
It's great. Can I give a recommendation?
Please.
I actually came up with, like, way more than I should have. But I do have, we talked about how the men are usually the focus in the sports romance. But Nicole Falls wrote a book where the woman was the athlete. It's called The Change Up. If anyone has ever seen the show that Fox did not give a chance to, called Pitch.
That romance.
Oh, it's.
I'm still harmed by that, by the way.
I loved it so much. And it's just, oh gosh, I was hoping that one of the, like, streaming services or something would give it new life. But I love the fact that Nicole kind of, I mean, I don't know where she got the idea from, but I connected the two because it's the woman. She, you know, grew up playing baseball. She's a baseball fan, and What happens with her, it's like she doesn't get to play in the actual major leagues, like in pitch, but there's like this exhibition thing. And it's like it's been a few years since I read it, but it's like a pitching competition. So she kind of gets the chance to show her stuff. And the hero, Noah, is a sports blogger. And you know, those dang sports bloggers always have something to say. So it's one of those kind of a slow burn romance, but great banter. And again, it's one where it's the woman who is the athlete in it. And it brought back those pitch vibes for me. So I love to recommend that as a great sports romance.
Okay. So I'm going to go because I read this one called Pivot and Slip, which is by a woman named Lila Suzanne. And it was my first book by her, and I really loved it. And it is a male-male, and the hero, one of the heroes, Felix, is a boxer. I went looking for a boxing romance because I was like, oh, we're going to do sports romances. Like, what sport do I want to read about? And the hero, Felix is a boxer, and he is injured. He's like, injured in a fight. And so he decides he's going to start. And he realizes that, like, when he boxes, his, like, he's boxing for the physicality of it, but there's also, like, he can't kind of keep himself mentally, like, hinged, if that makes sense. Like, he realizes that he's, like, letting too much of his, like, emotions get into the fight, and it's harming him, and he's worried about that. So he decides he's going to start going to yoga class.
Love it already.
And so he said that the meet cute here is freaking adorable. Jack, our other hero, is a former he's not an Olympian, but he made it to the Olympic trials. And then he had this, like, he was a swimmer, and he had a, he basically, like, he had a breakdown of sorts during the trials, and it was all filmed and put on YouTube, and it, like, is his great shame. So he, like, stopped swimming and he became a yoga instructor. And so every, you know, whatever, Tuesday morning or Thursday morning, there is a yoga for seniors class, and he teaches it as yoga at this, like, yoga school, and he goes to it, and in walks this, like, massive boxer.
Fine.
Who does not know that he has come for yoga for seniors.
Oh, and my so gosh. It's
like this moment of, like, pure delight. And this is, like, the perfect, this is like chapter one, and it goes on, and it's really about two people who, like all great romances, is about two people who, like, are really just trying to come to terms with, like, who they were and who they might be and who they might be together. It's a really soft and, like, lovely book. And it's these two men just, like, finding love with each other. And it's also very sexy. And there's boxing and fighting and hitting. And I love all that. But also, it's just, like, two people who have great bodies, who can do lots of great things with their bodies, doing great things with their bodies and falling in love.
I love it.
Nothing wrong with that. That sounds amazing.
That is how I feel about this book. It's like, but that's the other piece. It's the other joy of the sports romance, right? Is like,
yeah,
people.
These are people.
Or like, these people who are in tip top shape.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I love that.
You need a cardboard bed at the Olympics, is what I'm saying.
No, you don't. You do not at all. I know that I've gone a bunch of times, but I do have one more that I want to talk about. And I think it actually will relate back to our earlier conversation about grief. And that is a hockey romance called Man Down by Kate Meter. And I just read this book so fast. I thought it was so beautiful. But Gunnar is a hockey player, and the book opens with him texting, like, into the void, and it becomes clear to us really, really quickly that he's texting his wife who has died. And he is doing this, like, sort of texting, and then one day someone texts back because his wife's number has been reassigned. Oh. And this woman's name is Sadie, and she is kind of like, are you okay? And kind of says, like, I've been getting your texts now for a couple weeks, and I didn't want to say anything, but, like, are you okay? And they strike up this sort of texting friendship that then, for romance reasons, becomes them meeting in real life. I'm just going to say it's romance reasons because it's, you just got to go with
it's
it, everybody.
A little, yeah, it's a little convoluted and great.
Sure, sure.
It's fine.
And the thing that I really loved about this romance is it turns out that he was driving in a car and his wife was, and their 4-year-old twins, where they were in an accident and everyone died but him. And it is really
rough.
Right? It's a few years later now. Right? He starts the sort of interaction with Sadie happens like almost 2 years after the accident. So this is a man who has spent a lot of time grieving before the book starts. And it's going to grieve forever. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just a matter though of like how he can move along. And so they meet in real life and they're very attracted to each other. And it is just a beautiful, beautiful romance. And I think, again, if you are at all looking for a romance about like how being part of a team can like kind of support you in the world, mm-hmm. and how like sort of, and the one thing I also really like is we talked about, there's very little hockey in the book. In fact, most of the hockey is he is kind of helping to coach like a summer league that they do for kids in the Chicago area.
Can we talk about this kid thing,
yes.
too? Like, that is a big piece of the sports romance,
yeah.
often, is like, and yeah. then they work with children.
Yes.
And right? it's really darling.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I probably am such a basic bitch for loving that.
I don't care. This book, it was like, you know what, to me, it's like I cried a little when I read this book, but it was so beautiful, and I really believed in my heart that, you know, he was ready to move on and she was a good person for him. And it's just like a really beautiful journey. I mean, just yeah. like Jamar's journey towards like kind of moving through his grief and getting out to the other side of that. And I think that there's a reason I think this plays out so well in sports romance, because the bigger drama always behind the scenes of a sports romance is, you know, the winning and losing.
Right? Yeah.
Like these are people who the stakes are so high for them and they have to know how to manage that. And so it makes sense to me that you could set really big emotional stories against that, because these are already drama-filled existences, maybe. So, Farah, you also have a little teaser, maybe, you're going to end us with.
I do. Right? I do.
Really tease us.
Okay, so I'm going to cheat and give two, because I wanted to do a quick shout out for this series. We always see football, you see hockey, but years ago, Patricia Sargent wrote a basketball romance series under her Regina Hart pen name called The Brooklyn Monarchs, and you don't really see the NBA. So if people, you know, you like okay, sports great. And you don't, so I'll put that. But the one I want to talk about is one that I can't really say much about. Because the book doesn't come out until 2022. I was extremely lucky to read an early copy of Jamie Wesley's new, talk about high concept, football, three football players who opened up a cupcake shop in San Diego together.
Fine, stop it.
Give it to me right
My
now.
My God, that's so good.
They're going to have to learn how to pipe things with their big manly hands. Fine.
It's
romance
so
is going
cute.
To die.
I mean, Jamie's so like funny. So it truly is, you know, I've seen people talk about the rom-coms are, you know, it's like just because they slap a funny cover on it doesn't necessarily mean a rom-com. This is a rom-com for sure. You are going to laugh.
Oh my God.
And it's just so freaking sweet. Because yes, you have these three bulky football players who, for reasons, sure. get together and open up a cupcake shop. And the heroine, she
listen,
actually
for reasons.
Yeah, well, listen, for reasons.
Already, I'm like fanficking this already. They have little birthday parties for little girls. One of them comes home
they do.
Covered in fucking glittery sugar all the time. Like, stop it! I cannot.
It's really so sweet.
So badly.
And the heroine, she kind of mixes. Like the heroine is actually the granddaughter of the owner of the football team. The football team is owned by a Black woman. Let me just say that. So, nice. You know, I love that.
Great.
And her granddaughter was on like a Bachelor series, you know, one of those series yeah. like that. Yeah. And she kind of She was picked in kind of, and I know I'm not really giving away spoilers because you're going to know this from the beginning, but she kind of leaves the guy who she picked at the altar type thing because she knew she wasn't really in love with him. So she kind of ends up working at the cupcake shop, again, for reasons. And the series, I can't give the name because they want to do like a name reveal. Of course, the cover. I can't say anything about any of it, but be on the lookout for Jamie Wesley's football players turn cupcake. Well, they're still football players. That's the thing, but they still run this cupcake shop.
Wait, they also are football players?
Yes. They're three. They're on the same team.
I thought they were like retired. Listen.
No.
No. Listen. They're like both.
Listen, Jamie, if you're listening.
Okay.
My email is Jen Reads
Jamie,
Romance.
Jamie, we would like to read this book.
We want to read it,
so
Jamie.
Good.
My God.
Woo. Okay, so everyone, you can follow Jamie Wesley on Twitter. We're going to put her Twitter account in show notes.
And then as soon as this cover reveal and title drops, I'm going to blast it out onto the universe.
It's absolutely so cute. I feel so lucky that I was able to read such an early copy of it because it is
so adorable.
It's an adorable series. And she's funny.
That's great.
Yeah, it's be on the lookout for it in 2022 from St. Martin's. It's good.
Perfect.
Adorbs. They are already football players and also cupcake owners.
Fine. Listen, I don't know. Again, why hasn't anybody thought of it before? But Jamie got there first, and that's all that matters.
No, Jamie was like, what does romance love? Cupcakes and football players. I'm going to put them together. And now she's going to print money, and I'm going to be sad.
She deserves it. She deserves it for this. It's so adorable.
Jamie, we can't wait to read it.
Okay, Farah, where can people find you?
Everywhere. I'm online way too much. My favorite places are Instagram and now TikTok. I'm on Twitter, but I'm still just a screaming ball of like anger on Twitter. So I tell people you can go on Twitter, but you're not going to get the best Farah on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on TikTok where I am just free flowing. You'll see more than just books because I just put any kind of, you know, whatever I'm feeling the day on TikTok. Facebook, I'm on there too, and I have a fan club on Facebook. Go on my website, of course, farahrochon.com, and I've got links to all of my stuff, except for TikTok. I need to add my link for TikTok, which will probably take me 6 months to do it since I just thought about it right now. But yeah, you can follow me everywhere.
Perfect.
Well, it has been really fun to have you, Farah. Please come again.
It's been great.
Are you the next book in the series? Do you have a sense of when it will be? Or
it's going to be next summer. I did reveal the title is The Hookup Plan. That should kind of tell you. Well, anyone who's read that knows that London is just really in dire need of a hookup. London's book, she finally finds someone to hook up with. Not that she necessarily wants to hook up with this person. He just kind of turns out to be the perfect hookup partner. But I just saw the cover and I can't wait to do the cover reveal because I am absolutely in love, but that should happen later this fall. It'll be sometime in summer of 2022, I think. And I'm confused now because I have the two books coming out. The Princess Tiana book comes out, I think, in fall 2022, and the adult romance is in summer.
Time has no meaning. Welcome to Faded Mates, everybody. thank you, Farah, so much for coming on today. We had so much fun talking about sports romance. For everyone listening at home, please check out our website for information about merch. Links are in show notes for all of the things we've talked about today. And you can find us on Twitter @FadedMates and on Instagram @FadedMatesPod.